Turning our attention next to ice fishing. The ice fishing season is upon us. Gary Engberg, our guest today. Gary, professional tournament angler and fishing guide, an avid conservationist and sportsman. He advocates for getting kids involved in the out of doors. He's got a great website at GaryEngbergOutdoors.com. And wonderful to have him back to talk about, mostly about ice fishing. We'll talk about other things going on in the out of doors right now as well as we visit with him. Certainly looking forward to your questions. Maybe you ice fish in winter. Maybe you haven't, but have some questions about it. What do you like to go for if you do fish? What else do you enjoy going on the outdoors in the wintertime? We can talk with Gary about what else he likes to do in the winter, too. Join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. Gary Engberg, welcome back.
Thanks, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here as always.
It's great. And there's a little ice in the further north you go.
I did a little. I have to, Monday's my day. I write my normal local column and for my newspapers and for the Wisconsin State Journal online. And I did a little trip yesterday to see where people were ice fishing and if they were ice fishing in the area. And there were people fishing even in the Triangle area in Madison.
Oh.
And, you know, Brittingham Park, Lake Monona Bay in there. There were people fishing in Cherokee Marsh, quite a few people there. There's people fishing up along the various sloughs up near me along the Wisconsin River. And once you get in the northern half of the state, they have
pretty much everything.
Yeah, they've been fishing for quite a while. Talked to some friends in Lake of the Woods. They got 12 inches of ice out there. And matter of fact, they were starting Wednesday of this week to bring out all their ice shacks, and they were driving vehicles on the ice up there now. But around here, it's pretty iffy, and I wouldn't suggest anyone going out right now, and especially maybe when I was younger, there was kind of a macho thing about being the first one on the ice, and you're going to catch, you know, you're going to have great fishing, and you do usually have good fishing on first ice. Fish are usually in the same location they were before the freeze-up, but right now it's a little iffy, and especially, you know, you have to be very careful in where you go. A lot of little tips to tell people. I tell people not to go fishing alone. If you are going fishing, tell someone where you're going, where you're going to be. If you bring a cell phone with you, make sure you put it in a Ziploc, a bag in case you would happen to go on the water. And one of the most valuable things ice fishing people can bring with them is a pair of ice picks. And that's just actually a couple of like picks with a rope around them. And then you have a pick on each end. If you would happen to go through the water, you can always get those picks in the ice and be able to pull yourself out. And most of your fishing right now is going to be in relatively shallow water, so you don't have to worry about deep water structure yet. But still, it's not a bad idea to wear a life jacket. If someone's been taking a trail and made a path out to where you're going ice fishing, I always follow the trail. I'm not going to blaze my own. So, but just a lot of, you know, use, you know, don't, you know, stay away from feeder creeks. Stay away from warm water discharges like the MG&E plant. Mm-hmm. Just to, you know, use your head. And then when people say, well, what do you need? 2 inches, 4 inches, 6 inches. 4 inches is kind of getting there. And as I get, I think, a little bit older, I think I kind of like 4 to 6.
Yeah, I can remember back in the day when I was really young and foolish being out on Lake Mendota, and when you could probably just about kick a hole open with your heel, and the first pressure crack came, and the ice was like a blanket. It was that non-rigid, and scared the heck out of me, but
yeah,
I stayed out there.
When I was young, talking about when we did kind of maybe goofy things, we used to go out on the first ice wearing snowshoes to spread our weight out so we could go out on thinner ice. And so that was one thing we kind of did, which wasn't real bright.
No. Oh, it's a wonder we're still here, isn't it? Duffy and Wanakee, hi to you.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Great, thanks for calling.
I know this guy.
How you doing, Gary?
Hi, Duffy.
I just want to reinforce the things that Gary has said, because I was also out driving around this weekend and encountered a couple of situations where there were some younger people out putting tip-ups out in areas very, very questionable. I have gone through the ice completely once. I have sincerely no desire to do that again. It's kind of a harrowing experience. But it's just, you know, a couple of early season pike or some panfish just aren't worth it. And the safety part of it kind of bothers me when I see the younger people doing it that way.
Larry Duffy used to be president of the Hera Fishing Club in Madison, and he's done a lot of things. Taught school at Wanakee High School for 30 years and recently is retired, so he's finding a lot of time to be ice fishing and driving around now these days. But he also is on the pro staff for a lot of companies, and he works with an ice auger company, Jiffy. And if we want to talk about augers, Duffy's the man.
Well, thanks, Duffy, for calling. Appreciate it. And auger, what auger do you? What kind of augers do you like?
I think I like Jiffy. I've been on the pro staff with Jiffy for about 15 years now.
So. Duffy, what are some of the changes and some of the new innovations that they've brought in?
Well, the drills have really progressed over the last couple of years, and it's kind of funny because Jiffy gives me the opportunity to test prototypes once in a while. And I didn't like the idea of having a propane drill, a drill that is powered by propane. And it kind of went against my grain a little bit, but once I got one in my hands last year and worked the whole season with it, I just couldn't believe it. And I get my choice of any two drills that I want every year, and I've got two propane units sitting in my garage right now.
One more quick thing, Duffy. I know you have a fundraiser coming up on Lazy Lake.
You know, it's not my fundraiser. There's Rod and Gun Club up in that area. I think it's a Rio Rod and Gun Club, and I have been doing promos at that tournament over, oh boy, I think 10 to 12 years. And the people up there don't know me by my name. They just know me as the Jiffy guy. And I'm up there. I will donate some.
But it's for a good cause.
Oh, it's for a good cause. They do a lot of environmental things and things for kids, and those are the types of things that I back.
Yeah.
Thanks, Duffy. Good talking to you.
All right. Thanks, Gary. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you that way as well. Well, in the just think about the Madison area for just a minute, but Lake Monona and Monona Bay and the sort of the triangle area of this part of this of that particular lake, the pounds of bluegill that are taken out of that.
A funny story: a good friend of mine, Bob Zauner, we call him Pancake Bob, is he's fishing every day when he can. You know, usually from shore this time of year, he's been fishing. This is just last week at the Triangle Brittingham Park. There was open water there then. They were catching muskies from shore. There were so many muskies in the Triangle area gorging on the bluegills that it was there catching muskies in 3-4 feet of water, and there was lots of them in there.
So
there's a little tip. So I'll tell you, we had 40-degree weather yesterday, and this week looks fairly good, too. So people are still fishing open water. Lake Monona is not frozen, and the muskie season, you have to remember, is open till the end of December. So for some of you hardy people, dressed warm and get out there, and you still got a chance of catching some good fish.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have more callers online. Let me give that number again, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. We'd love to hear from you. And let's go to Jan in Milwaukee. Jan, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. You know, you guys were talking about maybe when you were younger, not using your, you know, going out on some thinner ice. And I fished Shawano Lake up north of Green Bay for many years, and the walleye fishing on first ice was always phenomenal in years past. That's changed now. But I always, when I was on questionable ice, I took, you know, you don't need an auger when you go out, obviously, on thin ice, so you have an ice spud or a chisel. I basically would walk and use it as a walking stick, but actually throw it down in front of me every step. I would just kind of use it as a walking stick. But
you were the trailblazer.
Well, and if it goes through in one chop, you better turn around.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, a lot of people probably don't even know what spuds are, a lot of the newer ice fishermen, because you don't see them that much anymore.
Right. And I had another comment about the walleye on Shawano Lake. There's a fishing club up there. They're the Figure Eight Muskie Club. I love fishing. I don't have time to do it like I used to, but a lot of the old-timers up there feel that the stocking of the muskie on Shawano has drastically reduced the the walleye population. Just was wondering what you thought about that.
Personally, myself, I know that muskies will eat walleyes, but I don't think that they're high on their list of forage fish. I think they're more apt to be fishing or be eating fish that aren't quite as spiny and don't have a, you know, quite as many. Their dorsal fin is pretty rough on a walleye, and also too, all, you know, all your fins there, you can get cut pretty easily. I think, you know, they like suckers, they like softer flesh fish a little bit more, but you know, depending on the size of the body of water, I mean, muskies can eat a lot, and they can, they really bulk up a lot. When people say that the fish are bulking up for winter, they really do. You can have fish put on, you know, 5 to 10 pounds just in the fall period between, you know, the fall to the next spring. So that's possible. But I think the DNR does a really good job of doing most of their management studies, and in most of the waters, matter of fact, October, November, they stocked Leech Lake muskies and Thompson, or the Wisconsin strain of muskies, in the local lakes here, and we haven't had any problems.
We'll be back right after this look at the news. Stay with us. The winters can be long and cold here in Wisconsin, but it makes a world of difference if you have an outdoor activity that you can look forward to. For a lot of us, one great reason to get outside is ice fishing. Hi, Larry Mueller here. So glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. Gary Engberg is a professional guide, angler, and outdoor writer. He's a lot of experience ice fishing. And whether you're just getting started or maybe you've been fishing your whole life, he has some great advice to share. And he's happy to answer your questions when you call in at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page to leave a question, a comment, or to share an ice fishing photo. We'd love to see some photos, so send those in too. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show and click like while you're there to get regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'll be back right after the news. Taking a look at ice fishing here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. My guest today, Gary Engberg, a professional tournament angler and fishing guide, avid conservationist and sportsman. He advocates for getting kids involved in the outdoors. Has a great website, GaryEngbergOutdoors.com. And wonderful to have him back with us today to talk about ice fishing. And certainly to answer your questions when you call us. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. We did have a Facebook comment from Buzz who said, we used to carry a section of extension ladder with us on early ice, easy to bridge the holes when we fell through. The joys of being young and dumb.
And skinny.
Yeah, and skinny, and not very heavy. Kenny in Wausau, it's on to you now. Hi, thank you for calling. Kenny, are you there? I bet you...
Did we lose Kenny?
Must have lost him. He had a question that related... Judith was letting us know here. He had a question relating to parasites, finding parasites in panfish and so forth.
You'll find them... It varies from the bodies of water you're on, and a lot of it has to do, I think, with fish their habitat is a lot very close to the bottom, and you'll find bluegills, crappies, perch. When you clean them, you'll find these little grubs or little specks in them, but they're not going to hurt the fish. I've eaten millions of fish where when you fillet the fish, you just flick them out and take them off, and there's no problem with eating them, or they make the fish taste fine. I mean, they don't hurt the fish at all.
Yeah, they look like little black dots.
Right, they're little black dots. And it's, I mean, I haven't found a consistent pattern where you're going to find them always in this body of water or others. A lot of times it's shallow bodies of water and fish that are kind of bottom huggers.
When we talk about equipment, I want to get into equipment a little bit because, for one thing, it is, if you don't own a boat, you know, and you let's say you've got... You can't get out onto the lake in the summertime very easily. In the wintertime, actually, for a fairly small amount of money, you can put yourself out to catch fish.
That's the most important thing you said, is that ice fishing is very, very inexpensive. You can get a very good rod and reel, you know, rigged up for panfish right now, probably for, you know, in the $20 range. and, you know, go to garage sales, and you'll find a lot of old augers where someone is going to a power auger. And beside that, you know, a good selection of jigs. And a lot of people now are even getting away from using, you know, your wax worms, your spikes, or your golden rods as bait, and are going to just using plastics. You know, companies make the new product, your power baits, your gulp. Some of the new products being made, they're made of, a lot of them are made out of fish material, and they're impregnated with salt. And the fish, you know, I know people don't use live bait at all, and they never get their hands wet all winter. So, you know, there are a lot of alternatives.
Yeah. And the augers, we have talked a little bit earlier about augers, but and of course the power augers are really nice, but they're a little expensive.
Yeah, you're probably talking in that $300 to $400 range. Like Duffy has Jiffy's. But the two companies are Jiffy and Strike Master, who make most of your augers. And, you know, you can find those, too, if you look around in garage sales or go to, you know, some of your different website lists. You can find them. But, you know, I don't think a person necessarily needs a power auger to go ice fishing, especially early in the year where you're going through not too much ice. You know, get yourself a nice 5-gallon pail, you know, a couple dozen ice fishing jigs. I would recommend the Bait Rigs Cobra jig. It's a jig made locally, and we've had very good luck with it. It's got a nice wide hook gap and comes in some great colors. Some plastics, a scooper to clean out your hole, you know, and you're in pretty good shape right there. You know, you don't have to spend a whole bunch of money. There are some good guides in our guide association. I would highly recommend Ron Bearfield if someone would want to go out with a person who's an excellent fisherman. Ron, you could get a hold of at 838-8756. That's Ron Bearfield, and he's in our Four Legs Guide Association. And Ron fishes probably 180 days a year. And if anyone knows where the fish are when there's open water or when there's ice, it's Ron, and I'd highly recommend him. Fishes all the area lakes and knows what's going on.
So if somebody didn't really even have equipment, would he be
able to? He has everything. All you would have to do would be dress warm.
Dress warm and show up.
Show up, that's it. And have some money in your pocket.
Yeah, you need a little money in your pocket.
And a couple of hand warmers, you know, and maybe a thermos full of coffee.
Yeah, 838-8756. Okay, do you do any winter guiding?
I do a little bit. I go up to the Devil's Lake. Devil's Lake is just up by Baraboo. It's probably about 10 miles from my house. It's Devil's Lake is a deep lake. You know, you're talking about 50 feet deep and takes a while. It's not going to freeze up real early. But the DNR has stocked it for years, for at least the last decade, with brown trout. Plus, there's a good panfish population. There's some good northerns in there. There's, you know, every winter there's some 20-pound northerns caught. But the trout fishing is very, very good. And you can use tip-ups or you can just jig them and use jigging plastics or jigging a minnow or use tip-ups. And, you know, you can catch some nice, you know, brown trout up to 20 inches.
Yeah, so that's, and they're pretty good eating.
That's, they're very good. I mean, even if you fillet them, I like to smoke them. And they turn out very, very well because, you know, you're talking about fish in the probably 12 to 20 inch range, so they're not like the big fish you're going to get out in Lake Michigan where you probably would have to cut out some of that belly fat.
Our guest today, Gary Engberg, talking ice fishing with him and outdoor activities in the winter. Give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to see. Actually, we've got some ice fishing photos or some fish photos. We'd love to see those, too. But you could post your questions there as well at the Larry Mueller Show.
A nice thing, Larry, about ice fishing, too, is that ice fishing is, it's kind of like the old deer camps used to be. When you get people together to go ice fishing, you know, you get a group of guys, you get 6, 8, 10 guys and gals, and you go out and you bring a Weber grill, and I'm talking about later on in the winter when you can drive your vehicles onto the ice. You got to remember in Dane County, you have to have a flotation devices on your snowmobile or on your four-wheeler here. But if you get out in the other counties, you can drive on them. But, you know, we get together for the afternoon. Someone might bring a TV, maybe watch a football game, have some tip-ups out, cook some good food, have some good camaraderie. And, you know, that's what it's all about.
I always like taking, I take my little cook stove out there,
yep.
Propane cook stove, and I always like bacon and eggs out on the lake for some reason, and a loaf of bread, and it's really good eating. Get some fish.
All we would need would be Tom Holetz's potatoes, and we'd be all set.
Oh, rest in peace, Tom. Rest in peace. We have Callers online, you can join in again at 1-800-642-1234. Yeah, that's something I really enjoyed. Eggs, bacon, and then if you catch some fish, you can just fillet them right on the spot.
Well, fish are great for breakfast.
Oh, man, it's wonderful. There's a few restaurants where here in the Madison area where you can have walleye and eggs for breakfast.
Well, commercially, they're even selling bluegills now. If you go to places in town, you can buy a filleted bluegills.
Yep, that's absolutely right. Bob in Cauldron Falls, it is your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Hi, Bob.
I've fished for many years. I was listening to your station here, and I listen to it faithfully every day. I've noticed you've mentioned about jiffy drills. Okay, I also live down in the Sheboygan area, and I've never heard this advertised very much, but I bring all my blades over to the Jiffy Company, and they do have a service there where all you have to do is bring in your blade, and they'll exchange it for one that's already been resharpened at a reasonable price.
That's great, because one of the things you do need is sharp blades.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been out with dull ones, and I'll tell you, it's no fun.
That's right. Okay, and they'll gladly redo them. They have a whole pile of them there, whatever you bring in, and they're all machine sharpened just as well as a brand new blade is.
And what town is that in?
It's in Sheboygan Falls.
Sheboygan Falls, okay. So they could.
That's where the Jiffy factory is.
I'm sure they could find it on the website.
Nice to have it's a Wisconsin company,
yep,
too.
So it is Wisconsin.
That is nice, too.
Yep, right.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, welcome. Have a good one.
Thanks, Bob.
You too. And let's go to Jeremy and Stevens Point next. Hi, Jeremy. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Jeremy.
I've got a quick question. I just kind of started fishing this past year and got out a lot this summer. And ice fishing kind of makes me nervous, fishing on maybe the Wisconsin River, just with ice safety, with thickness and the moving water. I was wondering if there's any tips on how to know for sure when it's safe to go out there.
Well, I would wait longer. There are people. I was up along Highway 60 towards Spring Green, which is probably 30 miles out of Madison yesterday, and there were people fishing in some of the sloughs and backwaters of the Wisconsin River. But you got to remember, you know, when you got a river, you got flowing water underneath you, which makes a big difference. And I really would wait until, you know, I wouldn't get on early ice. I'd wait until there's 6-8 inches of ice before I'd go out there. And you still have to be careful because you do have spring holes, and that water doesn't stop depending on what your dam flow is going through. You know, if we're talking about the Wisconsin River, you know, your dam's breaking up. Depending on how much water Alliant Energy is pushing through the dams will depend on what you have actually underneath your ice. So when you're fishing on, you know, any body of water, particularly rivers, you know, use your head.
Yeah.
And I would always probably not go out on ice if I had any questions about it.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Yep, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And in the meantime, while you're waiting for that, the lakes, you have an opportunity to get out on the lakes before you get to the rivers, for sure.
Yeah.
We got the holiday season here. Christmas coming.
It's a great time for some good gifts, I'll tell you.
That's what I'm going to ask you. What have you got? What do you got in store for us in the way of gifts?
Well, it depends on what you want to spend. But
well,
you can
arrange.
If you, I mean, for children, like if you want to get them involved in a lot of the bodies of water, and I'm not don't take children, then don't take dogs out on early ice. That's another rule of mine,
mm-hmm.
because you'll end up with, you know, children where you should be paying attention to the children. You'll be watching your fishing rod, and dogs will be running around. Don't do that. Wait till you have better ice. But as far as getting children involved, there's a lot of bodies of water around here. Brittingham Park is one of them. Lake Wingra is one. Warner Park Lagoon, Cherokee Marsh. These are areas where you can take younger children, and they'll have the opportunity because they're probably going to catch fish.
Yeah.
And the most important thing is to have the kids when they go, to get that good experience when they go out and to catch some fish. And also, too, you know, you're not going to catch fish solid no matter where you go all day. So think of some other things you can do when you take the kids out on the ice and have some other activities to play, you know, beside fishing to keep their attention span. And I'll tell you, a lot of times you get those kids, they'll catch a couple fish and the smile on their face, you know, you got them hooked then for life.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very good point. Well, what about gifts for the ice fishermen?
I would say you can get a good rod for a younger child, you know, under $20, and that would be a rod and a reel and line. You're talking about some jigs for people. Jigs are for ice fishing are probably $1 or less a piece. Bait is relatively inexpensive. Your plastics come in, I think, 10 or 12 packs, you know, a couple dollars there. An ice scooper is $3 or $4. Yeah. You can get a 5-gallon pail for a couple bucks somewhere, you know, talk to a restaurant or a restaurant supply place. And then you're talking about an auger, and, you know, most people, you know, you're not going to spend the $300 or $400 for a power auger, but you can find a good Jiffy or a good Mora, which was made in Sweden. That's the old blue ones with the red cover. You'll see that, yeah. I was using probably 30 years ago. You can get those for probably $30, $40. Yeah. So for well under $50, you could probably get started. For under $100, you'd be all set. And then, you know, to get out there, you know, a very important thing is to wear spikes on your shoes. You know, you can have, if you can get cleats, they run under $10. They'll fit right over your boots. And then you're pretty set. Get yourself a sled to be able to pull yourself out there, unless, you know, you just take your 5-gallon pail and put your ice auger over your shoulder and your pail on it and start walking.
We have a Facebook comment from Natalie. It says, I was in Wausau last week and saw quite a few people ice fishing up by the bridge where the Rib River comes into Lake Wausau in Rib Mountain. Great spot. Ice is over early and easy to access.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, see, like we said, the northern half of the of Wisconsin is had ice for a while, and I wouldn't worry too much about that ice.
Amelia in Madison says, I've never even thought of ice fishing, but you got me interested. How do I get started if I don't know anything at all?
Well, I'll tell you one thing you can do. It's go to the website, look up the Yahara Fishing Club. I think they meet the second Tuesday or the first Tuesday of every month. Men, women, students, anyone is invited. You can go to go to a meeting, and see if you like it, see if you learn anything, and you'll get to meet a lot of people. And they're trying to get some new blood in there and some younger people instead of us old guys. So, I mean, that would be a good idea to find someone, you know, or find yourself a boyfriend who likes to fish, and then maybe he'll teach you. But there's a lot of ways, you know, even look up on the internet, just look up ice fishing and get some basic ideas. The Yahara Fishing Club also puts out a little booklet where they give you locations around the whole area and the whole Madison chain of lakes, and they tell you what month of the year it is, what you should be fishing for, where you can go, what lakes are open, you know, all the way down to the ditches by Stoughton, all the way up here to the Triangle in Madison.
And, you know, it always pays, no matter where you are in the state, if you go to one of the bait shops
are always the place to get the info.
Yeah, you'll get a lot of good information there, and obviously then you can also pick up.
If you probably would spend an hour in the bait shop, you would learn more than going out fishing for that first hour.
Yep, you're absolutely right about that. Let's turn to Alan in Madison next. Alan, hi, thank you for calling.
Hey, great show. I always enjoy listening to you.
Hi, Alan.
I'm an ice boater.
Yes.
I ice fish occasionally, but my passion is soft water and hard water sailing. And in the summertime, fishermen don't mind sailors so much because, you know, we're quiet, we don't leave a wake. But I'm wondering about the wintertime when there's ice fishermen out there and we're zinging along at 40, 50, 80 miles an hour on these thunderous ice boats. How do you feel about that?
I've never had any problem personally myself about the two lakes that I've been on where I see ice boaters are Lake Mendota and Lake Geneva.
Hmm.
And
Monona's had them too.
And Monona. But I've never had too much problems. I mean, I think everyone gives everyone the right of way, and, you know, you stay out of everyone's way, and no one has any problems.
Yeah, there.
It doesn't. I don't think it bothers fishermen. I don't think you're going to be spooking the fish. You're going by too fast.
That's what I was wondering, because some of the bigger boats are rather thunderous as they're going across the ice.
It's a very unique sound to have one whizzing by.
It is, but it's a cool sound, and they're by lickety split. So,
I don't think you'd have any problems at all with fishermen, though.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. We had an email from Genevieve in Madison. Do a lot of women ice fish, or is it mostly men? And how does it compare with warm weather fishing for men and women taking part?
I don't want to get in trouble here, but I think you probably will have a few more men might be out in the winter, just because I think maybe they can put up with the cold weather maybe a little bit more, or maybe they know how to dress better. But I know a lot of women who fish all during the summer, and I mean, there's a lot of women's, bass fishing circuits right now, and some of them are, They're getting up to big bucks. I saw one recently where the winner won $50,000. So these are mostly down south. But there also is an ice fishing circuit that travels most of the upper Midwest states.
Oh, there is.
Yep. Matter of fact, the World Championships are going to be in Rhinelander coming up in January. And a real good local fisherman, Jim Kashuta, they call him Mendota Jim, he's fished a circuit. Him and his partner, Terry Rogers, are going to be fishing up there in Rhinelander in the World Championships. You get, you know, Russian teams, Swedish teams, Finnish teams, Norwegian teams, German teams.
Wow.
You know,
now, what are they fishing in these tournaments?
Mostly they're fishing panfish. It's almost all panfish.
Okay, so then they're looking for the
the biggest, yeah. They have I'm not sure exact number, but it's somewhere probably between 10 and 15 fish they weigh, so they're trying to get the best ones they can.
Oh, wow. And that's in Rhinelander?
That's going to be in Rhinelander this January.
I'll have to look that up.
I'm not sure which lake it's going to be on there, but I just saw Jimmy Kashuta and had him on my radio show the other day, and he was talking about it.
You know, we talked a little about ice fishing and Christmas and holiday gifts for ice fishermen, but just thinking in general of outdoors, people who just like the outdoors, like to get in the outdoors. Got any ideas for gifts for outdoor lovers?
One thing that I always like to get myself, and I don't usually buy it, is, I mean, all the new clothing you have out now and all the new fabrics. I mean, there's just wonderful things being made right now, and you can be a lot warmer. You know, there's boots that weigh about a third of what, you know, the old Sorrels you used to wear with the packs in them. Those are still probably some of the warmer boots, but they're a little heavy. But just in the different companies that are making so many clothes, and I would go out and, you know, if you know people's size, that's a very good gift. You know, we're buying rods and reels, it depends on how much the person has ice fished, because some people, if they're mm-hmm. pretty proficient at it, they might want to pick out their own. But, you know, you can always buy people a few more ice fishing jigs. You can buy them some good mittens. You can buy them hats. You can buy them, you know, long underwear is a real good gift. I mean, mm-hmm. dual fold makes a great. I still like to wear some natural, you know, fabrics. I don't wear all polypropines. I still like to wear wool, and I do like silk.
Yeah, I like wool, and I like
the only problem if you get wool wet, but, you know, that's a different story. But I wear down still, and I wear a lot of the old fabrics.
Yeah, and the one thing that I would like myself for a gift, and that would be a trail camera, which I don't have yet. I'm going to get one.
Talk to me. I might have a couple extra still in the packages. They are great. So I'm trying to figure out. I go through 125 pounds of bird seed a week. I have lots of birds in my backyard.
Wow.
I want to get a camera so I can get a camera outside to link up with my computer is what I'm trying to shoot at. So when people go to my website, they can see, like, the other night, I had 32 cardinals at one site in my backyard.
Wow.
I got another thing for people to want to know, we did the first count, Jeb Barzin. I was out of town last week, and you know Jeb from the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council. They had their first count last Sunday. They had 67 eagles. Most of them were downriver in the Lone Rock area. But as things start freezing up, the eagles will be moving up towards Sauk City and come up for the Sauk for our Eagle Days in January. But I was saying I had eagles in my backyard perching too. So I get unbelievable things. Wow. I get wild turkeys.
Well, that's another gift, by the way, then, too, is bird supplies.
I've given
bird seed, and this year, some of that seed's pretty expensive.
Yeah, blackflower, sunflower, I mean, everything, a lot of it was...
Sunflowers.
Black oil, sunflowers are very high, but a lot of it has been, we've had terrible crops around the world in a lot of the countries, so your price of corn and all these different seeds has, like, almost doubled.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was paying almost $20 for 20 pounds of black-oiled sunflower seeds. And if you go to Niger seed, it's way out of there. But another good thing is there's so many good photography and wildlife books out there, too, that people can find. And I would recommend some of those. And, you know, sportsmen, like you said, a trail cam is excellent. They're making so many different apps you can add to your computer or to your phone to bring with you. You know, weather reports, hunting reports.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's GPS. Limitless. Yeah. Well, that's old school now, a GPS.
Yeah. Gary,
I'm waiting for the next new thing to come to beat the GPS.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Gary.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Gary Engberg, professional tournament angler and fishing guide. Go to his website, GaryEngbergOutdoors.com. And Engberg is spelled ENGBERG. ENGBERG. Gary Engberger's Outdoors.
And if you do have any questions, go to my website and you can contact me from there and I'll answer any of your questions.
And thanks for listening.